You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yeehaw!
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Well, because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible, but it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah,
is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area, but now lots of touristy shops and things like that, and yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I'd pick you.
No, certainly not.
Good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home. That's for sure. Where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes. And so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general. And we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires, how concentrated wealth and power are ruining our lives and the planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer, so he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that? And it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for their your biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here, is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast, Melissa Baldoff talking about climate, Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the Civic Media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across Civic Media is to get the Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination, and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays, 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's
no,
pretty
never
good.
Heard of him. No, never
He's
once.
Pretty good. Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in four runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that 3-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start. It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game 4 will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays Yankees at 6, and then Phillies Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2-0 over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done. Since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic media stations. So what else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And, of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers Cubs playing at 4 o'clock, that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
it's funny. I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But yeah. You know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. Like that.
You need to. It's, believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh yeah. No, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well, because I am definitely getting into that travel heartburn phase, where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure.
You know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, let's there's a great bagel shop. So we got this great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So of course there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. So of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home cooked meal in a while, and today better be that day for it. Because there's nothing else. There's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
That's fair. Yeah, and it kind of sucks too, because you don't have your own bed to go to, really.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where, again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you know, burn inside, your butt inside on the car. Seat.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this and say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies. Yeah, you know,
variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's fall, it's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as state attorney general. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as Attorney General, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike. And so, again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as Attorney General, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, "This is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat." WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned to corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies. Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, I know you are, but what am I? And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yacht Rock kind of day, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is Cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool. And he's got a gang. So cool, in the gang.
Yeah. You know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole... I'm glad you said Yacht Rock, because that reminded me of the... did you hear about the little Craig Council hates Yacht Rock?
No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers, on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing kind of slow songs like Yacht Rock.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yes.
Turns out, apparently, that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates Yacht Rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing Yacht Rock for the Cubs BP, but it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for Yacht Rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the Yacht Rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we were already done ahead of time. All right, this is not a... happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to Be Clever. Kissing to Be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For You. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with the polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the miniskirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, Boy
what
George,
the hell?
All the other bands of early MTV, and we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, yeah. Is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different,
yeah,
and you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just, it's what was normal then,
yeah.
You know, it's okay. Later in the decade of the 80s, you went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's What Is This Love, there was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs. And the band member was like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. They'd be like, okay.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
On Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes,
oh, that's
did
okay.
You hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, I mean, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
Well, that's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation. Yeah. at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, what, almost 10 years, right? Locked Out of Heaven?
I don't know how old this song is.
Well, we'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... Oh, we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry.
Oh.
No, he's... Jimmy Kimmel will tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983... I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was from Bonnie Tyler.
One time I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Now, again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind. You know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, "No. I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate, yeah. And I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which I'm sure shows off some wacky houses."
Sure.
And so she put it on, and wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale, and it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual. Yes, a lot of you know, interesting art, designer clothing, all kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted. They were all leather, for example.
Oh.
It was just, there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah.
All for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms, two bedrooms. The man did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But Ooh. That makes it a little tougher to sell, you know? I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah,
I guess, as
it were. That's interesting. Is he still in? Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the...
Little Miss Puckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe, so many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And so it's a big white, like, boot. for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves. And then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things, I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitbaum. You're up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now, we are one doctor-friendly show over here. You've got a host, Mary Do a Doctor. You've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who visits on Mondays and Fridays. And we've got a new video series on the Up North News social media feeds called Raising Wisconsin with pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks. And you can catch that on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. In her most recent episode, she breaks down bug bites, the different types and treatments so that you can keep the itching away and look at what signs to watch for anything that might be troublesome. Again, the Raising Wisconsin video series from Dr. Kelly Snooks. Look for that on Up North News social media sites. Parker Olson has the national day calendar for us today so that we know what we're celebrating. And then we'll talk about some of the big stories at Up North News over the past few days. So where are we starting? Who are we honoring today?
Today we've got Emergency Nurses Day. Funny you were talking about the doctors. We got Emergency Nurses Day.
Excellent. Yes. I mean, cannot possibly thank anybody enough who works in an emergency department. So thank you for all you do. You are truly a hero to us. What else do we have?
Well, Pat, it's National Heroes Day.
Well, look at it. You're just making up stuff now. So
no.
National Heroes Day?
National Heroes Day. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, people who dress up as like Marvel characters, or
my understanding like, was like people that you think are heroes.
People so that I you would think say are like heroes,
nurses and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, so this is like the Bette Midler song day. You get to sing to somebody. Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Sure,
sure. You can do that, or maybe somebody will think that's like borderline bullying if you do that. What else you got today,
Pat? It's National Stop Bullying Day.
Shut up. What are the odds of this? This is crazy. It's almost
like we know.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. So today is Stop Bullying Day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If any other day you see bullying going on, you just let it happen, man. You just let it go. But yeah. Today,
on this day in particular,
is the day. And you go, you will not take Timmy's lunch money today because the calendar says so.
Yeah.
And then you end up giving the bully your lunch money instead. But
so do you think tomorrow is National Bullying Day then? Where everyone
yeah, that's
has
a good
to
point.
Bully?
Where's National Bullying
yeah.
Day?
Yeah, equal time, guys. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, that's like the whole premise of The Purge, right? Is you can have one day for just doing these terrible things. We're going to have a bullying day. So, all right. One more. That's one of those old-timey jobs that I can relate to. What
yes.
do we got?
I'm curious if you ever did this. It's International Newspaper Carrier Day.
Newspaper Carrier Day, otherwise known back in the day as a paper boy.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, you had the newsboys and the paper boys and all of that. And eventually, you know, we kind of opened things up. But yes, back in the day, I was a paper boy. Where? I was a newspaper carrier. I was living on the east side of St. Paul and delivering two newspapers because back then there weren't just newspapers. There were sometimes two newspapers a day.
Oh, the morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, was the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And then after school, you'd get another stack of newspapers to deliver, the evening St. Paul Dispatch. And then later they were combined into the St. Paul Dispatch and Pioneer Press, and eventually just the Pioneer Press. Let's see, that, you know, we talk all the time about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And for the longest time, you know, the Milwaukee Sentinel, that was Wisconsin's morning newspaper. Everybody had that, you know, they had the green sheet and everything else. And then the Milwaukee Journal was its own separate thing. And then eventually that got combined. And so, yeah, we carried a lot of newspapers. And I lived in a large apartment complex. And so it was enough to have to get up at 5 a.m. to deliver, go up to the corner, get the newspapers and deliver them all around before school and after school. And then there's Sunday mornings.
Oh, and those ones are big, aren't they?
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. And again, it's just so funny that you went from these massive newspapers, these very thick things, to like newspapers are now like gone. And yeah, on Sundays, I mean, that was it. You know, you counted on that for all the what was on sale and what was happening where and when. And it's just not the case anymore. But we would get these things that we just had to lug, you know, down. You had to get a wagon and load them up, and yeah, you had to put them together, because there'd be the news sections that were in black and white, and then all the ad sections that were in color, but they printed them separately. So you had to put the one inside the other.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And then best of all, for all these kids, these literal kids,
yeah,
doing all this, they were also the bill collectors. And so whatever it was, once a month, I think it was once a quarter maybe, you had to go around all these places. Instead of just leaving the newspaper, you had to knock on the door and, you know, say, hey, I'm collecting. It's $5.50 this week for the month. And you'd be like, well, you missed three times this week, and so I'm going to deduct that. When you didn't miss it. You didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Maybe there was the original porch pirate came and took your newspaper, but they penalized you, or they said, oh, come back next week, I'll pay you then. And, you know, they never did. And you're a 12-year-old bill collector trying to make the case that they should pay you the $5.50, you know?
Hey, $5.50, that was a lot of money back in the day.
Hey, it was a big deal for me to make enough money that I could buy my mom a Mother's Day present.
Ooh.
And of course, you know, being a 12-year-old boy, I got her a toaster. Because our toaster had broken.
And so and I wanted to have a good toaster.
So, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Here's a toaster for you. So
that I'll use.
And you don't have anything equivalent of that today in terms of, you know, child labor, shall we put
no.
it.
No. No, that's, you know, honestly, that makes me a little sad.
It does for me too, because again, maybe we didn't need the 12-year-olds to be bill collectors, but we also, there's always room to do something rather than just sit and look at screens all day.
Yeah. You know?
So maybe we should put this up to the listeners. What are the good, relevant kid labor jobs of today? And I don't mean child labor, like exploitive, you know, but
yeah,
what is something good that maybe more kids should be doing as like a first job or something like that?
Yeah. The closest thing I can think is like fundraising for your sports team right now.
Yes. There's definitely some of that where they come to your door with the calendars and things like that. I totally get that. So what else is out there, and what else would make for a good first job for kids these days? So much more in the next hour here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.